All right, take your Bible to Colossians chapter 3 tonight, if you will. Colossians chapter 3. One other prayer request that I would ask to the Sizemores, Miss Sizemore, that often is here from up in Oklahoma. She sent us a Christmas card for the whole church and mentioned that she appreciated us praying for her son, and she asked that we continue to pray for him. He still has some issues that he's dealing with and needs your prayer, so continue to pray for him if you would. I almost let that slip my mind, but I'm glad I did. All right, you're in Colossians chapter 3, okay? Want to drop down to verse 18. We're going to begin reading there and read through the rest of the chapter. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." And I was reading these verses and kind of thinking and seeing maybe what the Lord would have me to speak to you about tonight, and got to thinking, you know, as reading these verses, the Christian life is to be totally different than that of the lost world. I mean, everything about our life is just to be totally different. Now, to me, that fact ought to be obvious, but through the years, I think we've managed to try to make the two so much alike. You know, so many people that are saved want to live just like the lost live, and what a mistake, you know, what a mistake that is. And really and truly, the Christian who seeks to follow the Bible is going to find himself more and more out of step with the world. I mean, you'll just find, boy, I don't fit in, and I don't even think the way they think, you know. My actions are different, and it really shows up in what I refer to as the realm of relationships, all right? Many relationships in our day don't last. They just don't last. Now, the relationships should. I mean, friendships. I think if you got a good friend, you ought to have a friend for life. It ought to be a lifetime relationship. If you have marriage relationship, the marriage relationship's intended to be for all of life, okay? And it's to be a lifetime relationship, and but oftentimes they don't last. Then even more relationships are troubled, and they're unsatisfactory. People are not satisfied in the relationships they have. I believe with all my heart it doesn't have to be that way for God's people. For God's people, all right? Paul, under the inspiration of God, he gives us direction, if you will, for being successful in the relationship department here in these verses. And it's a simple thing, but it's very direct, and it goes against everything the world considers to be right. Just everything the world considers to be right. And I just want to remind you of this. I was thinking, as I read these verses, I was thinking, our wives, submit yourselves to your husband. I mean, to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children. Servants, obey in all things. And I thought, what is the one likeness that gathers these together? And we could say, hey, this is the whole key. And I believe it comes down to the matter of giving, okay? Comes down to the matter of giving. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, usually when a preacher quotes that verse, people grab their wallet, okay, or their purse or something, because they're afraid, oh man, it's money, money, money. Well, wait a minute, there's a whole lot more to living than finances, okay? And all of relationships, they're built around giving, okay? They're built around giving, and so it's not all money. The truth is, I believe the Christian life is giving. Living is giving, just plain and simple. You said, well, what do you mean? I'm going to try to prove it to you, all right? I believe all relationships are all about giving rather than receiving. And I'll show you what I mean as we look. Look there in verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Hey, the Bible says wives need to give an acknowledgement. You said, what do you mean an acknowledgement? Well, they need to acknowledge that God's system and God's order is right. God said them husbands to be the head of the family, and he's to be the head of the home, he's to be the head of the wife. And the Bible says to wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. That is, the wife is to acknowledge, hey, that's true. That is right. That's the way it's supposed to be. But we hear that word submission, and we think wrestling. Or we think, I guess now, MMA fighting, right? Because they get in submission holds. And, you know, where they get it and they'll tap out because, hey, I don't want you to yank my arm out of its socket. Or I don't want you to break my leg, okay? And so because of that, that submission, we're being brutalized, if you will. And so I'll submit. Wait a minute. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? Biblical submission is not slavery without any recourse, without any rights. That's not what it is at all, okay? Not one bit. It doesn't indicate that anybody's better than somebody else. We live in a day where we say, well, if I got to submit, that means you think you're better than I am. No. No. It's just God's order, his rank, all right? His rank. If you've been in the armed forces, the private has to submit to the sergeant. The sergeant has to submit to the lieutenant, all right? And it goes on up all the way, you understand. Now, does it mean the person that wears those lieutenant's bars are better than the one that's just got the sergeant's stripes? No. No, it just means he holds a higher rank. Just, he's got a higher rank. And the whole thing about wives submitting to a husband, it's admitting and submitting to the fact, acknowledging the fact, okay, God designed the family. It's God's design. And he designed it the way he wanted to do it. He had a reason for doing it. He said, why did he do it that way? Well, you ask him when you get to heaven, all right? But I mean, you and I, we're just do what God says, all right? We're just do what God says. If a wife is not willing to submit to that headship, then there's going to be problems in that relationship. Somebody said, well, it's going to be 50-50. You can't do it that way. You cannot do it that way. I mean, there's just, my wife and I, we have problems when it comes to drinking, okay? We have problems when it comes to drinking. You said, man, I can't wait to hear this. Well, see, she won't drink a Coke. She just drink Dr. Pepper. Now, I will drink a Dr. Pepper, but she won't drink a Coke. All right, she said, well, it makes me sick, all right? And every now and then, she'll taste mine. She'll go, yuck. I said, well, why'd you taste it? And he knew he was going to do that, all right? And, you know, I grew up drinking Coke. I was a kid in Florida, in Georgia, and Coca-Cola bottling. That's right there in Atlanta. That's where it came from. And I was a long way from Texas and Dublin and the Dr. Pepper home, you know. So I grew up, and occasionally we'd drink a Dr. Pepper, but that was just something you did occasionally. And so we have a drinking problem at our house, all right? We said, well, we'll just come to an agreement. We'll make it 50-50. Can't do it because she says Dr. Pepper, and I say Coke. You say, well, somebody has to give. Somebody's got to give in. Well, who's going to do it? All right, who's going to do it? Hey, the Bible said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. You need to give acknowledgement to the fact that God's design for the family is right, and that's the way we ought to do it, and that's the way we'll do it. That is the way we'll do it. Now, by the way, can I say this? I maybe should have started. I could spend at least a whole sermon on each verse here, but we're not going to do it tonight, okay? We're just going to take it, and I'm going to try to show you what we're getting at. Now, when I say that she needs to acknowledge it, not just a nod of acknowledgement, okay, God's right, but we're going to do it my way. No, that's not really acknowledging, okay? I'm talking about an acknowledgement that says, okay, I'm going to show you my acknowledgement and my action. And so, hey, you need to give that. You need to give. But wait a minute, the other side of the coin, the very next verse, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. We're to give adoration to our wives. We're to do that. That's what every husband's to do, all right? And just put it out there. It ought to be spoken. It's a good thing to say those three words. I love you. I can't help it. Every time I hear that, I think about an old joke I heard years ago. This guy, he was, you know, he's kind of, you know, in the mood, and he thought, boy, I'm going to try this. And he whispered in his girlfriend's ear, and he said, would you let me hear those three words that will make me walk on air? She said, go hang yourself. So I don't think that was what he was looking for, right? But it would have made him walking on air, right? Hey, he's looking for that I love you. Well, hey, those are good words. They're good words to be spoken. We shouldn't be like the guy who said, well, I told you I loved you when we got married. If anything changes, I'll tell you. No, those three words, they ought to be spoken. They ought to be spoken. It ought to come out, all right? It ought to be said. There should be praise. Hey, men, you ought to praise your wife, okay? You ought to praise your wife. You ought to brag on her. You ought to brag on her. I mean, it ought to be something you just do, and it's the right thing to do. Why? Because it's displaying, hey, I love you, okay? I love you. There's nobody else to compare. And real adoration involves time. You spend some time with them. I've said many, many times, I did not get married so I could just have somebody to come home to on occasion, and I'm still going out with the guys. No, I was tired of the guys, okay? And I don't want more of that. And you need to have that focus. I'm going to spend time with her. Why? Because I want you to know I love you. It takes some time to get that across, all right? Takes some time. And I've gone over it with you, and I've told you, not belabor, the time I've spent at Garden Ridge Pottery and those kind of places. The only reason I went is because I love my wife, okay? I love my wife. But spend time, all right? Spend time. Show that. It's giving. It's giving. You with me? That relationship, it's built on giving. It's maintained on giving. You quit giving, you get in trouble. You get in trouble. Spend time. You provide for her, okay? You provide for her. My wife went out shopping. I got an email, and I checked and said it was my receipt from Penny's. And I brought it up, man. I said, that rascal is long, okay? And so I asked her, I said, did you shop? She said, yeah. She said, okay. I said, well, I got the receipt, you know, and they sent it to us in an email. She said, what do you think? No problem. Hey, she's a bigger tightwad than I am, so it's okay, all right? It is okay. But, hey, we're to provide. Men, we're to provide. Can I tell you this? That's a giving thing. That relationship, what the Apostle Paul's telling us through the inspiration of God is, hey, wives, you give that to your husband. Give him that acknowledgement that you have that position in our life, our home. And husbands, you give your wife that adoration that she is loved and she knows it. You ought to never doubt it. It ought to be that way all the time. Then look at the third one there in verse 20. Verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. You say, where's the giving here? Hey, children need to give the authority, the position of authority to the parents. Now, when I say that, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they possess it to give. No, they don't have it. But they ought not to fight the parents about who's the authority in the home. Hey, that authority rests with the parents, all right? Yeah, that authority is not given by the child as a blessing, is to say, okay, Mom and Dad, I'm going to bless y'all by letting you. No. It's acknowledging and giving that authority that you own that authority. You have it. God didn't give kids to rule the home. But man, I see it in homes today everywhere. Everywhere. I was talking to my sister-in-law. She taught for, I think, 65 years. And it's close to that. No, she taught like 40 years. And I was talking to her and I said, you know, the difference in kids in those years since we started teaching and now is amazing. It's amazing how much difference there is in kids. And the reason they're different is because the difference that's in the home. The difference is in the home. When I was in school as a kid, I never remember seeing a kid that I thought that child runs the house. I don't ever remember seeing anybody like that. Don't ever. Now, there might have been a few, but I never saw them. But man, today, It's turned things upside down. Kids run the show. That's why it's often such a shock to them to get to school and they find out, what? You expect me to do what you say? Yeah, as a matter of fact, we do, all right? We sort of expect that you're going to do what we say, not just you do what you say, all right? And we're not going to do it. Hey, children are to give the respect and the obedience that's due to their parents. They're to give that authority and recognize you've got the authority. You've got the right to tell me what to do. You have the right. My dad always said, son, as long as you put your feet under my table, you're going to live by my rules. Said, you don't want to live by my rules? Well, there's the door. See you, all right? You know, but as long as you're here, you're going to live by my rules. Now, I still believe that kind of thing, all right? I don't believe anything has changed along that way. But it's a matter of that relationship between children and parents is a matter of parents taking the authority and children giving that authority, all right? And understanding it belongs to you, it's not mine. It's a giving. Living is all about giving. It's all about giving. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 specifies not just husbands, not just men, but fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath. All right, anger. Provoke not your children to anger. Hey, fathers need to give attention. They need to give attention. Provoking can be done in a lot of ways. You can provoke people a lot of ways. You can provoke them intentionally and on purpose. My daughter was here over the weekend. She has a little dog that's a little bit Jack Russell and I think Chihuahua. And maybe a Dachshund and Jack Russell. And anyway, it's got a lot of the Jack Russell in it, and it's pretty high-spirited. Well, I like to provoke the dog. All right? I like to provoke her. I mean, you can poke her in one place, you go, you know. And I'll poke her again. You know, I'll poke her, and she'll snap back at her. But she knows not to bite me because I'll knock her teeth out, all right? So she knows not to bite me, but she'll put her mouth and her teeth on my hand, but she won't come down on it. All right? You say, what are you doing? Well, I'm provoking her, okay? Now, the Bible doesn't say, Dad, don't provoke the dog, okay? So in case you're accusing me of doing something, the Bible doesn't say that. But it does say, hey, fathers, don't provoke your children. Now, I believe there's a lot of ways you can provoke children. Unfaithfulness in keeping promises. You provoke kids. You know, hey, man, we promise our children something. We're to do what we said. We're to do what we said. And we shouldn't promise what we can't do. Shouldn't promise what we can't do. If we promise it, then we ought to perform it. Okay? We ought to perform it. It's a matter of dad giving attention to his children and doing what he should do, not provoking them. Hey, you can provoke children with unjust and unfair treatment. You can be unfair. You can be unjust to your kids, all right? Yeah. You know, Tom and Dick Smothers always used to, I think it was Tom, always said to Dick, Mama loved you best, all right? And I, you know, my brother and I, we used to go back and forth sometimes. Well, you know, they treat you better than they do me. Now they didn't, all right? They didn't do it. And you shouldn't do it. You need to be careful. You need to be careful when you get to saying, hey, that's my favorite. That's my favorite. You better be careful unless you only got one child. Now, I can say you're my favorite daughter. And I can say to my son, you're my favorite son. He said, which one do you like the best? There's not a best. Okay? I'm to treat them the same. I'm to be fair with them. I'm to not be unjust or unfair. Hey, Dad, you can provoke your kids when you do that, all right? You can do it. A lot of times, dads provoke their children because they neglect them. They neglect them. Kids need time. Kids need to have time spent with them. I believe they need to be listened to by dad. Dad ought to be willing to listen. We live in a day where everybody's, you know, too busy. Now, leave me alone, I'm watching TV. Boy, don't do that with your child. What a mistake. What a mistake to get so busy, tied up in something that's totally unimportant, that you don't take the time you need to spend and give the attention that you need to give to your children. Why? So you don't provoke them to anger. So you don't provoke them to anger. They need to be listened to. They need to know they're important. They need to know they're important. It ought to be just a given. Hey, they need to know that. You're important. A lot of kids would have a lot less trouble in life if their dad didn't provoke them to anger. Didn't provoke them. The Bible says there, notice what it says there at the end of that verse, lest they be discouraged. Lest they be discouraged. You provoke them to anger, you can call them to be discouraged. You do that, you cause them to be discouraged, they're not going to behave very well. They're just not going to behave very well. They can lose enthusiasm for life. I don't believe kids commit suicide accidentally, okay? Not accidentally. There's a slip up somewhere down the line, right? Now, don't say, well, preacher, you're saying the parent, no. I said there's slip up somewhere, okay? But man, we ought to do everything we can. The Bible says that relationship, it's a giving relationship. Dad, you're to give the attention and admonition that your children need. You need to step up. By the way, I'd say this, a lot of times ladies wind up as a single parent. That means you got to take care of everything you would do and dad would do too. You got to work at it harder. Not easy to do, all right? Not easy to do. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying these relationships mean giving. Wives, you got to give. Husbands, you got to give. Children, you got to give. Dads, you got to give. You got to give. Look at the next verse there, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, I'll be honest with you. I believe that word servant there in Colossians is referring to what we would call a slave, all right? But slavery, now, the Bible doesn't give a justification for slavery, but he does give instruction to those who were in that condition, and he says to them, hey, you are to obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. You're to obey him. Now, let me say this about slavery. I don't, if you've, you read history, boy, there were a lot of civilizations that ran on slavery. All right? They ran on slavery. When we think slavery, we think African slaves brought over here. But it had nothing to do with race, all right? Had nothing at all to do with race. But, man, the people were enslaved. And the Greek civilization, there were a lot of slaves. There were a lot of slaves. The slaves did the majority of the work that was done, okay? But so Paul here is writing God's word to them. Hey, he knew slavery was prevalent in that day. There were a lot of people that were slaves, and he said to them, hey, you obey your masters in all things, all right? You just do it according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, fearing God. And I believe the next verse goes right along with it, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. But I'll be honest with you, I believe verse 23 also applies to verse 18, verse 19, verse 20, verse 21. All right? I think it's talking to wives, it's talking to husbands, it's talking to children, it's talking to fathers. All of it. He said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, not half-heartedly, but heartily, as unto the Lord, all right? To the Lord, not unto men. All right? Not unto men. We're giving everything we've got. Now, what's the application then for verse 22 in our day? I believe the application for us is plain. It lies with employees. We've been employees. You're employed. You have a job. You're the employee. You have a relationship. Now, it's not one of slavery. You say, oh, yeah, they work me like a slave. No, they don't. No, they don't, all right? But it does have application to that worker-boss relationship, okay? It's got application in there. Now, I like to compare it in the Old West. In the Old West, known ranches, the riders were known to ride for the brand. So what did that mean? They gave full allegiance to the brand. They had allegiance to the ranch they worked on. If it meant fight for it, they'd fight for it, you know, whatever it was. And the truth of the matter is, I believe that applies to us as an employee. We're to give it everything we've got to our boss. I mean, give it all. Give our all. Do the best you can. Not looking for the minimum way to get by. What is the least I can do and keep my job and keep getting paid? It ought not to be like that for God's people. Shouldn't be like that. Brother Charles back there, he's a truck driver, and he drives, and he's doing a good job. He's doing a good job. He's not saying, well, it ain't my truck. Not my truck. I don't have to be careful. Yeah, he should. He should. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. Be the best he can be. My brother Todd back there, now he has to work for his brother, all right? I mean, his brother's his boss, all right? And they seem to have a pretty decent relationship, at least when they're around me, all right? But, hey, our allegiance ought to be that. We're to give it all we've got. We're not to look for the minimum we can do and get by. We don't pick and choose what we'll do. Notice what that verse says. Servants obey what? In all things. In all things. In all things. Not just when the boss is around. Not just when the boss is around. I could talk about somebody I know and have to be careful about how I go into it, but I know of some that have avoided work as much as they could and making real good wage, but they would hide on the job and not do much, but they kept making, you know, as long as they didn't get caught gold bricking, they were okay, all right? Hey, it ought not to be that way. In our day, as servants, and that employee-employer relationship, we ought to work hard, we ought to work carefully, we ought to work faithfully. It ought to be, hey, you can depend on me. You can depend on me. If you tell me you're going to leave and you tell me not to leave before the time, then I'll be here. Well, it said everybody else sneaking out, not me. I mean, why? Because you ought to do what's right. You ought to do what's right. Now, remember, I told you when we started, the Christian life is different from every other, anybody else. Totally different from the world. If you're folding tacos at Taco Bueno, I don't think they fold them at Taco Bueno. You still working at Taco Bueno? Okay, all right, got fired. Folded too many tacos, right? No, I was kidding. I don't know. I don't care what it is you're doing. You ought to give it your best. You ought to give it your best. Stay with it, all right? Work hard. Stay with it. You say, why? Why? What's the reason for this giving living? Verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Why? As to the Lord. As to the Lord and not unto men. Number one reason we ought to give it is our giving living is given to God. Hey, it bears testimony of the fact I belong to Him. And I'm not a good worker. It's a reflection on Him. It's a reflection on my Christianity. I've got two kids. I tried to teach my two kids what it was to work. I believe children need to be taught to work. Yeah, you ought to give them chores. You ought to have chores. My brother and I, we grew up slaving away. I mean, and we washed the dishes. We swept the floors, we did that. We raked leaves, we mowed the grass, we did all those things, all right? Just for the privilege of living. No, I was kidding. Our dad taught us to work. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. I tried to teach my kids to work. They need to know what it is to work. You see, I think it's a reflection on, if you don't work, I think it's a reflection on your daddy. I really do. I believe that. If you've not been taught how to work, it reflects on your dad. All right? It reflects on your parents. Well, wait a minute. I'm a child of God. And if I don't live and give in living the way I'm supposed to, then it's a reflection on my God. Hey, we're not to do it for men, but for God. Second reason is verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Hey, the Lord's going to be the one who's going to reward you. This whole thing of giving, living, it's God who's going to reward you. He says, well, I get rewarded on payday. No, you don't. I mean, you don't really do. I've said multitudes of times, the people that work for us and teach in the Christian school, none of them make what they're worth. I mean, we can't pay them what they're worth, all right? Just don't have the means whereby to do it. They're worth a lot more. But you say, why do they do it? Well, I hope one reason is because they realize I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving the Lord, and I believe He'll reward you. He'll take care of you. You learn to do that. You say, well, I'm working over here at Walmart. Okay, then you do the best you can. The Lord will reward you. The Lord, I believe that. I believe He'll reward you. You give it everything you've got, all right? Why? Because He's going to reward you. Third reason is found in verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And one reason you do it is because, hey, we're doing it for God, not for men. Second reason we ought to give it everything we've got in our giving, living, is because God's going to reward us. But the third reason you need to remember this, if you don't do right, He's going to judge you. He is going to judge. You will be judged for wrongdoing. Think, well, I got away with it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You just hadn't got, Judgment Day hadn't got here yet. And you hadn't got away with anything. Judgment Day just hadn't got here. But it's coming. It's coming. Boy, I mean, we ought to have that idea, all right? We ought to have that understanding. I am doing what I'm doing because I'm serving the Lord, and everything I do reflects on Him, and I'm to do everything I do heartily is unto the Lord. All these relationships I have, they're to be built on me giving. And they are. He said, when do I receive? When God rewards you. When He rewards you. That's when you receive. I tell you, when you receive, when as a parent, that child comes up and says, I love you, Dad. Or you're walking across the parking lot and they slip their hand in your hand. Oh, it's a good feeling. Good feeling. What a blessing. Hey, you can have good relationships in life if you learn to give of yourself to do it. But the problem with so many in this old world, they want the relationships built on me getting what's coming to me. Well, it's supposed to be built on us giving. Giving. It's to come from us. That's the way we maintain the relationship. Just learn to give. You say, well, I'm give out. Well, rest and start again tomorrow, okay? Rest and start again tomorrow. But it's about giving, all right? It's about giving. That's what it is, all the way down the line. And we're to give of ourselves with the realization, hey, what I'm doing reflects on my God. He's the one that's going to reward me, and He's the one that's going to judge me for the wrong that I do. Hey, there's worse things than being fired from your job. Okay? It's being judged by God for wrong that you do. God help us to see it, all right? God help us to see it. Very simple truth, but boy, I think it's truth all the way down the line. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Would you help us to see and understand, realize that life is really all about giving? And truthfully, living is giving. If we'll learn that, it'll help us. It'll help us in our relationships and between husband and wife. It'll help us, Lord, in the relationship with children and parents. It'll help in our daily work and our job and that relationship of the employee and the employer. Lord, I believe with all my heart it helps us in our relationship with you because we serve the Lord Christ.